you go to the middle of your Bible, there's Malachi, and you got to back up four books and you'll find Zephaniah, okay? It's one of those books. I'll give you a minute to get there, and you'll see Haggai, you'll see Zechariah, Haggai, and then you'll see Zephaniah, and kind of a weird book to preach out of on Sunday morning, but I see my class. I told them what I was preaching on this morning. I said, I want y'all to go ahead and turn there, that way everybody think we're smarter and know where all the books of our Bible is. And then I see some of my class members still looking for it, so I'm just kidding. Well, it's good to come to the house of the Lord. Good music, amen? And I didn't plan on having to do everything today, but it worked out anyway. And I'm glad I'm singing tonight, too. So I'm glad everybody counseled on us today. No, but I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach. And I appreciate our church so much. I brag on y'all all the time. And I appreciate our church more when I visit other churches. Amen. I do. And I'm telling you what, I was just thinking this week, is that I would dare to say that all the vacation Bible schools going on in the independent Baptist realms, there was not a church like ours that had over 75 workers each night. 75 people gave of their time for our VBS, and you say, well, was it worth it? Well, there was 9 souls saved. I think if one got saved, it was worth 75 people working. But we had about an average of about around 125, 130 kids each night. Man, that's a blessing. And you don't see that much anymore. And I thank the Lord for that. And thank you for the workers that gave of your time. What an awesome time we had. And we thank God for Brother Brandon, Miss Jessica, and all those that headed it up. It turned out really well. And I hope that you were praying. If you were not here, I hope you were praying for our VBS. Thank God for all of our workers. And if you noticed this morning, there were some new trees on the property. We planted them last week, and they just popped up. We had somebody in the church donate those to the church. Man, don't it look good? Just a little bit of greenery. But in the words of our pastor, please tell our people to keep their kids off of the trees. And off of the mulch, or else the trees will be gone, okay? So please, if you will, watch the kids out front. They're not going to be able to play football right there in the middle yard. So please be mindful of that. We would like to keep those trees for as many years until the rapture, okay? Zephaniah, I hope you found it by now. Zephaniah chapter 3, I'll read verses 1 and 2. And then I'll tell you kind of what's going on in this book here. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. Now that oppressing city is talking about Jerusalem. And we'll talk about Israel and about Judah and about Jerusalem at this time was in a place of revival. We understand that there was a surface revival going on during this time. Josiah was reigning. And we know that through the scripture in 2 Kings chapter 20 through chapter 22, there's a revival going on. But as we study more about this revival that's going on during Zephaniah's day, is that it was a fleshly or a superficial revival. It was not a true revival of the heart. Can I say I was in evangelism for a while. I've been a pastor. I've been associate pastor. And I've seen it time and time again. We have revival meetings and people are, woohoo, woohoo, I'm going to do this. And pretty soon they just kind of putter out. Why is that? It's because I think we miss sometimes in revival meetings that we need revival, not necessarily of our flesh, but we need revival of our heart. We need a revival that goes beyond the skin and flesh that we have, and that it goes into the very being of our soul and revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. We need revival. I'm going to kill myself on one of these mics. If I knock one over, Brother Donnie, I'm sorry. But I was thinking about during Zephaniah's day, and Zephaniah is also a predecessor or a cohort of Jeremiah. They both were the prophets at the in coexisting times, and they had the same message that, hey, woe unto her. Now notice that again. Woe to her. Woe to Jerusalem that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. You say, why is there, by the way, if you ever see the word woe in the Bible, you need to watch it because there's judgment there around. In the book of Revelation, we'll see the seven woes. We see woe unto them. But we see in this portion of Scripture that it gives us the reason there's a woe, because they have polluted the city. What does that mean? It means that they have taken all the fleshly desires and have put them into this city and are performing things of the flesh. We also understand that that it says filthy and polluted, vile. You ever wonder why God said this to Jerusalem? By the way, I believe the ones that are closest to the Lord ought to be the cleanest. But in this instance, the one who was the closest to the Lord, being God's people, Jerusalem, was the filthiest. By the way, God, if you study the Bible, God gets more angry, and without sin, a godly anger, He gets more angry at His people than He does the lost people. By the way, the lost world, those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to act like the devil. They're going to act like the world. They're going to act like they're lost. Why? Because they do not have the Spirit of God living inside of them. Sometimes we wonder, oh, why in the world do people do that? Well, it's because they don't know no better. Because they're lost. They know better. They're just lost. But I want you to notice verse 2, and this is where we'll take our points from this morning. Notice what Zephaniah says here, and again, that word "she" is talking about Jerusalem. It says, "She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." I'll preach this. This is probably the longest title I've ever given a message, but four knots that'll leave you tied up for eternity. And I'm talking about the N-O-T knots. Four knots that'll leave you tied up for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We love You. And this morning, Father, as we preach, I need Your power. I need Your presence. And Lord, this morning, if You are not in the midst of us, Lord, all of this will be in vain. But Lord, I pray that You fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. And God, that You take control of my body, my mouth this morning, and that only that which You would want to have heard would be said today. Father, we ask that You be with these folks that are here today. I pray for those that are lost, God, maybe never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray this morning through the preaching of Your Word and through the wooing of the Holy Spirit, Father, they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for Your Christians this morning. Maybe they've drifted away. Lord, maybe they just need a renewal in their life. Lord, we just ask that You'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I went to the tag office this week, and thank God I live in Wise County, which means you walk in. There's no line. Praise God for that. And I went in there, and I, as you walk in, there's one desk right straight in front of the door, and it said, "Renewals only." That's what I was there to do, was to get a renewal. You know what? I didn't have to get a new tag. I just had to get a new sticker for my tag. I had to get it renewed. And you know what? As Christians, sometimes we don't need a new tag, right? By the way, a tag tells you who that trailer belongs to. That's a whole sermon right there. Pretty good. I just thought of that. Tells you who it belongs to, right? Tells you where he lives. Amen. Man, I have to write that down. I'll think about it later. But, I think about our lives. Sometimes we just need to renew our lives to Christ. We don't get saved again because that's unscriptural. Sometimes we need a new sticker. Amen. Lord, give me a whole message. In the state of Texas, you got to have an inspection sticker. That means you got to drive your car in there and they make sure it's working properly. And if it's not working properly, you don't get a renewal sticker. That's good, people. I'm telling you. I didn't come up with that. The Lord did. So we need to get renewed in our life. And we need revival in our life. And we need God to indwell our lives with His joy and compassion and give us a renewed sense of being a Christian again. Folks, I'll tell you what, being a Christian is the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody in this earth. I don't care if they came today and said, "Mr. Wiggins, we want you to be president of the United States." I would say, no way would I step down off of being called into the ministry to take some job that may pay much better, may have better power. But I will tell you what, it doesn't have the blessings of God. And it does not have the presence of God like being a Christian, being a part of the ministry. Four knots that'll leave you tied up for eternity. Let's look at those. Verse 2. I want you to look at them. They're all right there in that verse. Number one, she, notice this, obeyed not. Notice this, the voice. By the way, you know what happens in our lives sometimes as Christians? We become carnal. We become cold and callous in our life. And the Bible says that we don't hear like we used to, and we don't listen to the Spirit of God like we used to. Matter of fact, the further you get away from God, the further you get away from the Bible, the further you get away from church, the harder it is to hear that voice, that still small voice that may be speaking to you this morning. And as I look at this, there's numerous scriptures that tell us that they obey not the voice. They obey not the voice. We see it in Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. We see it in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 12. We see it in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 8. We see it in Daniel chapter 9, verse 14. It says the same thing. They obey not the voice. By the way, Jesus is tenderly calling today. He's calling the sinner to get saved. He's also calling the saint to get right. By the way, we need to look at our life and see, have we obeyed the voice? You know what? I know that because you're here, you obeyed the voice of God this morning that said, go to church. Right? I hope that if God was to speak to you during this service, I would hope that you would obey that voice. God's not going to come to you and say, Roberta Armstrong, this is God. You need to... God doesn't work like that. And if you hear Jesus audibly, quit eating pizza and chili before you go to bed. You're having acid indigestion, right? But God comes in that little small voice that pricks our heart and kind of knocks upon our heart door and says, hey, you're not right. I've used this illustration many times and I'll use it again. I remember being in EMS and things and people having a pacemaker. And one day I was working in the cath lab, in the cardiac lab of the hospital, and I was asking the cardiologist about these pacemakers and things that they have today. And basically he gave me a sermon when he said that in a general sense, a pacemaker recognizes that the heart is not beating the way it should, and it shocks it to get it beating the way it should. By the way, that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to shock us sometimes. We need Him to shake us sometimes. We need Him just to put us in a blender and mix us up. So why? When our heart's not beating right, the Holy Spirit goes, pow! I was in the back of the ambulance one day. We were driving to the hospital. And I was talking to the guy. He was having some chest pains and having some problems with his pacemaker. And we were doing all that we could. And I was sitting back, and all of a sudden the guy, whoo! Scared me to death. We stopped. We didn't know what had happened. I thought a spider bit. I didn't know what had happened. But what had happened is that his pacemaker fired. And he didn't say, well, glory, but he said, woo! And boy, he had tears in his eyes because it hurt him so bad. But he told me this. He said, trust me, I'd rather have that happen than to die. He said, I can take the pain for a moment if it'll get me back to where I need to be in my heart rhythm. By the way, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, because He's just trying to get you back to where you need to be. And if God's speaking to you, you better listen. Notice the second thing this morning, if you will. Not only did she obey not the voice, that knot that'll keep you tied up for eternity, but also notice the next one. She received not correction. And I kind of went into that just then, but sometimes we think that the correction of the Lord is dreadful, but my friends, really it's God saying, I love you. When I discipline my kids, I'm not going in there to go, I'm the daddy and I won. That's not what I do. I don't go in there and go, that was fun. No, daddy comes out with tears in his eyes. But I know that in the end, the result is going to be positive. Jerusalem had light in a state of somewhat of a revival. Jerusalem was seeing people revived on a fleshly sense, on a surface sense during this time. But God gave Zephaniah a prophecy to say, look, revival must go beyond the skin and the flesh. It must go beyond the mind, that it has to go into the heart, and that it changes people. And what happened is that God said, look, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I love you. You're the apple of my eye. Wait, hey, I want to do this for you. I want you to take all that I've given you. Matter of fact, if anybody would have known anything about the Lord, it would have been Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where God had. Matter of fact, the Bible says this about Jerusalem, that it was a place where God had placed His name. God gave a stamp of approval. He said, this is my people. This is my place. This was the holy city of God. And they had the laws. They had everything that they needed. But yet they didn't obey the voice of God. And when they did that, God wanted to correct them. You know, whenever my kids were young, Daddy was going to discipline them, they would either try to run. Yeah. They would beg for mercy. That breaks your heart, doesn't it? No, Daddy, no, Daddy, I won't do it again. No, Daddy, I won't do it again. Daddy, I love you. Do you love me? But, yes. Hands on the bed, son. And you know, it's amazing how we want to get out of it. We don't want to own up to God trying to correct us and our parents trying to correct. I forgive me later for this, but I used to love to watch Cops just simply because I loved hearing people talk. They driving in a car, drugs in the seat, get out of the car, that's not mine. Well, you're driving the car, that's not my car. You know what, you watch Cops too apparently. I wasn't even driving. I mean, really, sometimes we do that to God and God's trying to correct us. And like, I didn't do it. Jerusalem kept saying, hey, it's not us. It's the people. It's the matter of fact, if you study it, it was the Gentiles that have infiltrated us. It was the outsiders that's doing all this to our city. And God said, no, it's you. And I'm trying to correct you. I'm trying to drive you back to where you need to be. Receive not correction. Matter of fact, if you don't receive the correction of the Lord, my friends, you'll keep going the way you're going. And can I say that that knot will leave you tied up for eternity? Even though you may be saved, yes, you're going to heaven, and you better thank God for that. But can I say that I want to go to heaven with joy in my heart, knowing that I've done all that I can to serve my Christ. I listened to that voice, and when God corrected me, I said, Lord, I know I deserve it. Matter of fact, if God wanted to whip me every day in my life, I deserve it. Aren't you glad He gives us grace, though? Aren't you glad not every day of our life is God correcting us and chastising us? Aren't you glad that He gives us grace to go through those times of times when we just make dumb mistakes and God says, hey, I'll cover that with grace this time. But next time, I'm going to have to correct you. Why? Because God wants us to stay close to Him. I don't discipline my kids and just because I want them to necessarily respect me. I want them to know that one day God's going to do it to them, and that if they don't receive it from me, they're not going to receive it from God. And I want them, hey, I've seen the results. When you don't pray with your kids and discipline your kids and love your kids like you should, I've seen the end results of that, and I don't want my kids there. I pray through the, and it's only going to be by the grace of God that my kids grow up and they love God. I know that, but I'm going to do the very best I can. And God is doing the very best He can. Jerusalem received not the correction. Notice the next thing. She trusted not in the Lord. I don't know about you. I said this the other day, and this is about my family, so I can say this. There's some turmoil in my family. Due to people in my family. Of course, you probably figure that one out. I was going to say their name, now I said, no, I better not. And what cracks me up is how that a husband and wife can fuss over the Facebook. It kills me. Like, we don't have enough decency in this world today to go talk to them face to face. So we fight over the internet so everybody in the world can know what's going on in our marriage. Shame on you. If you fight with your wife or your husband over Facebook, shame on you. You're a coward. Go talk to him. I'm not talking to you anymore. I don't like you anymore. Your mother, I don't know what they say on there, but I'm thinking. But we have this little turmoil in our family, and we get to witness it all because they're putting it on Facebook, and I'm thinking, and oh, my mama saw it. You don't mess with my mama. My mama came out with gloves a-blazing because there was turmoil in our family. And I begin to think about even in this verse how they trusted not in the Lord. Faith is not tried and faith is not shown when things are going well. Character is not shown when everything is good and everything is going according to plan. Character and faith is whenever things are going down. When things seem to be going the wrong direction, that's when we really should trust in the Lord. You see people go through marriage problems. You see them go through financial problems. And the first thing they do is get out of church. I'm spitting. I mean, you think about it. It's like, oh, we're having problems and I'm going to get out of church. That's going to fix it. No, you need to trust the Lord and be in church. You need to read your Bible. You need to keep praying. Why? Because the world's not going to help you. But being here will help. I always tell people, church don't solve all your problems, but it don't help. It don't hurt either. I understand this morning that there's some of us here that are going through some trials and going through some troubles in our life. But can I just remind you, trust in the Lord with all thy might, all thy soul. Just trust Him this morning. He's there. Hey, if you can trust Him for salvation, you can trust Him for anything else. If He's good enough for salvation, my friends, He's good enough for daily living. You know, we kind of have A and Z faith. I have faith that He saved me and I have faith that I'm going to heaven. But in between there, I have trouble trusting the Lord. God help us to trust Him more. You know what happened to Jerusalem? Jerusalem began to worship other gods. They began to trust in Baal. They begin to trust in the gods of the world and they begin to draw themselves away from God. And we'll see that here next, but they begin to push God away and not trust Him when they should have trusted Him the most. Why? Because, can I say that in 606 BC, that Jerusalem will go into captivity. Why? Because they didn't what? They didn't, notice again, they didn't obey the voice. They didn't receive the correction. They didn't trust the Lord. That's why they're going into captivity. It's because they did not come out of this. Friends, can I tell you this morning, don't live in captivity. You don't have to live in captivity and the world's got you bound and your doubts got you bound, your worries got you bound, your stress level's got you bound. You can't serve the Lord because you're so stressed out. You're worried about everything. And can I say we just need to trust the Lord? Boy, that's easy to say, isn't it? Trust the Lord. That's easy. But it's hard to do. You ever feel like all your walls are falling down around you? And you look up above you and you go, there's that storm cloud again. And boy, I'm telling you, I've been there. Boy, it just seems like everything's going wrong. Just seems like, wow, my world's falling down around me. What am I going to do? I'm going to just trust the Lord. I can't see beyond these clouds, but I know God's up there. I know the sun is still shining. I know that God said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I ain't got a dime to my name. Been there, amen? Write that last check out and you go, woohoo! Pork and beans again. What are we going to do? We're going to trust the Lord. When your bank account's empty, trust the Lord. When your faith tank is empty, just trust the Lord. God, increase my faith. God, I need faith today and just trust Him. Hey, when the car doesn't start, just trust the Lord. I've lost my job before. Most of y'all know I lost my job before. I didn't lose it. I knew where it was. They just wouldn't let me back in there. But we'll call it lost the job. And I'm not saying this because I got great faith. Cause I'm just telling you that this is how the Lord worked in our life. Me and my wife and Shelby at that time, we lost our job. Couldn't find it. I never forget. I mean, we lived in a house, and they kicked us out of there, and we were going on the street. We didn't have a dime in our name. The church we used to be a part of paid us very poor. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it was down to nothing. And I was thinking, Lord, what are we gonna do? I don't even have enough money to make it back to Florida and live with my parents. Lord, what are we gonna do? Well, we prayed. We got this news Tuesday, I think it was, and we had to be out by Saturday. Don't have a job. Don't have nothing. I said, I'm just going to trust the Lord. I can tell you the whole story, and this is an exciting story, because God took care of us. Even in a time whenever I really didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what was going to happen. We had a man, church, say, hey, we got a house we can't sell. Y'all want to live in the house? I was like, sure. We thought, man, this thing's going to be run down. We walked in there, and it was six times the size of a house we was living in. My wife can tell you what me and myself and my daughter did. We ran around the house like, woo! We couldn't run around the other house. You'd kill yourself. The washing machine and dryer was in the kitchen. I mean, you know, you wash clothes and wash dishes at the same time. Close the dryer. Amen. Cook supper. Man, we were in this huge house, and I said, Lord, that's great and fine. And he said, you don't pay a thing. We'll pay everything. Hallelujah. Had a big backyard. Hallelujah. Well, we need a job. Another man came to us and said, hey, I own this business. I'll hire you. And he said this to me. Y'all may not get excited about this, but I did. He said, I'll pay you $9 an hour. You work whatever hours you want. I said, nine bucks an hour? I've never made $9 an hour. I was so excited. And he said, you work whenever you want to, and I'll pay you. I said, hallelujah. Then a man gave me his truck to drive to work. And I'm telling you what, the Lord just worked it all out. And can I say that in times like that, you just trust the Lord. Most of you know our daughter Bailey. Bailey's mentally handicapped, and physically in some parts mentally handicapped. When Bailey was young, Bailey would not sleep. Bailey would not, she cried, and my wife could testify to this, 21 hours a day. Me and my wife would take shifts holding her, rocking her, singing to her, trying to get her to calm down. She wouldn't. They put her on all kind of medicine, all kind of medicine, all kind of medicine, all kind of medicine, made her a zombie, made her worse. We went on that for years. Well, we lost our insurance. We got the bill in one day for all that medicine. I said, my house is twice as leased, whatever that would be. It's half that. I said, there's no way we can pay this. So me and my wife, and I'm not telling you, I'm a great faith guy. It was just the Lord put me in a predicament where I had to make a choice. We said, well, we're going to trust the Lord. I knew the dangers of getting somebody off of medication immediately. I knew that. But we just trusted the Lord. And can I say, you see the result of who Bailey is today. Immediately, we took her off all of her medications. She started sleeping. And we started sleeping. She started being happy. If you know Bailey, Bailey's always happy. It's not always been like that. We just trusted the Lord. We just said, God, we can't afford it. But Lord, we know that you're in control. I'm not telling you, if you're on medication this morning, please don't say, well, we're done. And you don't show up for church tonight. I mean, trust the Lord and listen to the Lord. I've got to obey the voice too. Preacher said, throw that medicine in the toilet and flush it down. This is it, Elizabeth. That's a big one. Where's so-and-so tonight? Oh, they had a heart attack this evening. Their lawyer will be calling you. I'm just saying that whatever situation you're in life is that God puts you in a place and you just trust Him and then you listen and you do what He says. Sometimes the voice of God is so clear in our life, but yet we neglect to obey it. Let me give you the last thing. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. But I want you to notice this one. She drew not near. And notice the next three words, to her God. How sad that God was begging Jerusalem to come. Matter of fact, he said, I would have gathered you as the hen gathers her chicks. And he said, I want you to come and get underneath the wings of me and I'll protect you. I'll be your refuge. I'll be your strength. I'll be your everything. If you'll just come to me. And they said, no. I don't know about you, but my life is not always perfect. Not everything goes my way, but I know when I'm close to God and I know when I'm not. The Bible says this, James tells us that if you draw nigh, Jesus said this, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. That's a good promise, by the way. It means you take a step, He'll take a step. Draws you to you. Boy, that's good. I want to be near my God today. How would your life be? How would your married life be if you never was around your wife? Y'all take those smirks off your face, men. I saw some men go, oh, I never thought about that. No, there was no. We'll review the tape later. But if you feel like me, I love having my wife around. I'm sure if you're a wife here today, you love having your husband around. I love having my kids around sometimes. I love being near my family. You know, it hurts me sometimes because all of our family lives in Florida. And boy, it's tough sometimes to know that my family is 12 hours away. It's just kind of hard sometimes. But you know what? I love it when we get to spend time together and we're near each other. And you know what? It's amazing. When I'm around my mother, it's just like, you know, it's just a kindled spirit again. And it's just great being there. But I can't imagine being away from my God. I've been there, my friends. When I got saved in 1994... I got saved. I can't remember what night it was. It was a revival night. I think it was either Tuesday night or Thursday night. I remember I came and I knelt right there at that altar. When I was done, I sat right there. Brother Fieser sitting, and they took all my information, told me what I, you know, about the church and all these things that happened. And I remember, man, I was like, whew. My heart was like, oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. I knew I was saved at that moment, and I knew that my home was heaven. And I'm telling you what, for that week, I was like, woohoo. But let me remind you, I was a junior in high school, fixing to be a senior, going into my senior year. Can I say that I remember not long after I got saved, I drifted away from my Lord. You know the problem? It's that sometimes we don't realize how far we've gotten away. And it was true in me. I remember in my life, I just kept stepping away and didn't even notice that I was getting away from my God. But I know that through the preaching of God's Word one day in our home church that I came back. And man, when I did, I was like, wow, I forgot how good it was to be near God. I forgot how refreshing it was to be by God. And when you're near God, He doesn't have to holler for you anymore. It just kind of whispers in your ear because you're close. Husbands, don't you like when your wife's close and she don't have to holler across the house to you? Amen. She's just right there. She says, honey, sure do love you. I love that. Whew. I love it. I almost would jump a hurdle if I could. I get so excited. I love to hear that voice of my wife. I love to hear my kids. I love whenever the kids come before bed and they're like, Daddy, I love you. And they give me a hug. Oh, wow. I love that. I don't know how some of y'all do it when the kids move off. Oh, I'm going to miss that. I like being close to my God. Jerusalem had walked away, and God was standing there going, Jerusalem, I'll receive you back. You know who God was having problems with? Matter of fact, if you look at verse 3, I want you to notice the four groups of people He was having trouble with. This is not the lost world He was talking to. Notice this. Verse 3 says, her princes. Not only was her princes, but also her judges. Then in verse 4, it says her prophets and her priests. Those four groups of people were the people that had walked away and had neglected the voice of God. Those were the people who received not correction from God. It was the representatives of this great holy city. Matter of fact, this morning, as I was studying this, I was going back through my mind of people that have gotten out of church just since I've been here. It break your heart to see people who should be here and they're not here. Now, some of them we know have moved on to other churches. But I'm just saying those people that have gotten out and they're not here this morning, they're not in church somewhere, and it breaks my heart. But if it breaks my heart, how does God feel? God gave His only begotten Son for them to die on the cross and to pay sin's penalty for them. How must God feel? But then I thought about this. There's some of us that are here, but we're not near. And if that's you this morning, Jesus said, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. That's why I think these altars are so important. I've been in churches before, my wife can tell you. We've been in church before. The pastor said, we don't do invitations. People want to talk to us, they can see us at church. And I thought, man, how sad. How sad. I love these old altars because we come here and we can get right with God. There was 9 children that knelt at these altars this past week that trusted Jesus Christ at these altars and at the front. And I thought, man, even the kids knew where to come. And some adults don't know where to go. You go to the altar. You say, well, if I go down to the altar, people are going to make fun of me. Not if everybody comes. Amen. It's kind of hard to judge if everybody's down here saying, God, it's me. I walked away. I'm sorry. I received not. I've got knots in my life that are holding me back. And I don't want them to hold me back until eternity. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus Christ my Savior. Do you know what? You are in bondage. You're tied up for eternity unless Jesus Christ comes and breaks your bands. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were thrown into a fiery furnace, correct? Everybody knows this story, I hope. Well, when the king looked in, what did he see? He said, I see the form of the fourth man like the Son of God. But he said also, I see that the three Hebrew children are walking around. And when he pulled them out, remember what happened? They didn't smell like smoke. Neither was, the Bible says, was any hair on their head singed. The only thing that that fire done was broke them out of that bondage. It says that their bands were gone. Wow. Those bands were holding them back. But yet God in His mercy saw fit to send Christ into a flaming fire and break those bands. Can I say that Christ, He took hell for you, and He took the key, and He break your bands and set you free? If you'll what? If you'll just come to Him. If you'll just come to Him. And you don't have to spend eternity wondering, well, I hope I'm saved. I guess I'm saved. I don't. Hey, listen, my friends. If you got a hope so, guess so, you probably ain't got nothing. But I got a know-so salvation. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ is here. I mean, 100% sure. We say that to everybody. We say, are you 100% sure that you're saved? Hey, you need to be 100% sure, not 90%. Everybody knows what Lysol is, right? Y'all know how many germs it kills? 0.9. Right. Some of y'all use that. Good. 99.9%. That means there's that one point of a point that it doesn't. I don't know about you, but I'd love to have a bottle of it said 100%. Because it's that 0.1 that's going to get you. It'll kill you. And when you think about eternity, I don't want to leave anything undone. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt this morning, 100% I'm saved. I hope you have that assurance this morning. I hope that you'll not be tied up for eternity with these knots. She obeyed not, she received not, she trusted not, and she drew not nigh to God. If that's you this morning, here's these altars. Nobody's here to judge you. Matter of fact, whenever I see people go to the altar, you know what I do? I pray for them. I don't know what they're going through. You know what? Inside this building this morning, there may be some... I've been in churches before that after church, somebody's come to me and said, preacher, I'm just going to tell you, I came to church today. And after church, I was going to go home and kill myself. That's a good conversation at the back door of a church. And I'm thinking, oh God, what if they wouldn't have been here? And God, what if you wouldn't have been here? We'd have teenagers call us in the middle of the night and say, hey, just want to call and tell you I'm fixing to take my life and love you and Miss Donya. My own father tries to take his life twice. My father's lost. And just here a few months ago, my father tried to take his life again. Can I say that what happens is that my father doesn't have hope because he doesn't have a Savior. My father told me, I said, Dad, I've asked him about salvation. But I told my dad, I said, Dad, why don't you just get in church? My dad told me this. He said, son, I'm not interested. You know what it did to me? Broke me. Broke my heart. My father said, I want nothing to do with God. You know what? As a Christian, you can throw your hands up and go, well, oh well. But I think as a son, as a Christian, we go, not giving up. Just go keep trusting the Lord. But if my father was to die, he doesn't know 100% sure that he'd die and go to heaven. And I thought, how in the world does he sleep at night? How would you sleep at night if you didn't know that God was your Heavenly Father and that Jesus was your Savior? But I know that 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 I'm saved. What about you this morning, Jerusalem? Maybe you're part of Jerusalem this morning. You're part of the family of God, and God's just trying to get you back. 100%. He wants your heart. These surface revivals that we put on sometimes, woo, revival. Hey, God sees, God, what does the Bible say? God doesn't look upon the outside. He looks upon the heart. Is there true revival in your heart? Let's stand this morning. Musicians come. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. I just want to say this before I pray and before we sing. That if you're here this morning, I don't necessarily want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for everybody here this morning. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, your Savior, as soon as this invitation is given, would you please? I'm begging you to come down to this altar. Maybe you're here this morning and you got family members that are lost. Come down here and pray for them. Maybe you're here this morning you need to renew your life to Christ. Come down here. Whatever the need is, God has the answer. God has the answer. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for loving us and for caring for us. Lord, even when we didn't love you, you loved us. Lord, this morning I pray for those that are here that are lost, do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray, Lord, today. I pray that people would know 100% before they leave this auditorium today that they're saved. Lord, I pray for the Christian today that, Lord, many of us have lost loved ones. God, may we just lay that on your altar. But God, maybe there's some Christians here today that are living in Jerusalem, God. They're living in that holy city. But Lord, they got some knots that are tying them up. Whatever they may be, God, I know you can untie them. Lord, I know you can break those bands. Lord, I ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Hymn 41 this morning, there is a fountain filled with blood. If you need to come this morning, the altars are open. If you want to come as they begin to play.